First episode you will do, first episode will do great. You will share it on your story. All your enthusiastic friends will start sharing, you know, my friend has started, you know, become a part of the journey. The person who you have interviewed will start sharing on their social media and all. So just giving you an example, you'll get a good decent 400-500 downloads on your first episode. They will get a lot of reshares on your Instagram, you know, everybody will push you. What happens after the second, third episode? No, not every friend of yours is going to share. That dopamine hike you got after your first episode share, right? That drops
crash,
that dopamine crash. Yeah, everything. And it's not like a 10-20% crash. It's a 90-95% crash. And I realized my podcast lagged a lot on the entertainment factor. And I realized that, you know, like nothing can work if there is no entertainment.
Hi everyone, I am Manali and I'm back with another episode with Anurag Manik today. Anurag is the host of the M Square podcast and leading podcast in India, which is on marketing and entrepreneurship. The podcast has been a part of India's top 50 podcasts of the first ever podcast labs by Spotify. It has topped charts in several countries and has also crossed 100K plus downloads in a short span of 3 years. So here I welcome Anurag today. Let's see what these 100K downloads feel like.
It has given my ego a huge boost. That's the first thing I would say, you know, like really nice to feel. And that is one thing on the funnier side. It has given me a lot of stuff. It allowed me to, you know, reach out to a lot of people. It allowed me to talk to a lot of people, which I always felt I can do. You know, there's this story that I always tell, you know, that why I started this podcast was because if I liked any girl, you know, and then when I would, you know, say that, you know, I like you, can we be together? They would always say, you know, Anurag, we really like talking to you. And no, but we cannot be together, but we can continue talking. So I was like, after so many heartbreaks, I was like, let's make money out of this. No, how long I'm going to satisfy the people's needs of talking to me and all. So I was like, finally, let me talk. So, and it worked out well. So, you know, like, I really feel that people do like talking to me. And thanks to all those who told me this. So yeah, it just, it did let me know that one of the things that I was decent at, that is one thing. That is one thing that it gave me. Apart from that, it gives me a lot of confidence when I meet new people that I can strike up conversations. And it also allows me to, you know, impress people around, to tell them, ki, you know, like, this is what we have done and all. So that's what, and like, I've reached out to a lot of people whom I thought would be totally inaccessible. That way, it also helps you build a brand in terms to your podcast.
Networking in public. Basically, podcasting is networking in public. This is what I have deduced.
That was a very good, I could say, you know, like that's, you have concise it in one line, which I'm very bad at, to make concise statements. I like to beat around the bush a lot. So that's where you do not give out your secrets, right? But yeah, it does that.
Journey from 0 to 100K downloads must be huge. Like, you must have tested and tried out different things. So when you look back, what do you think are the key moments that contributed to this success?
See, I would say the biggest factor would definitely be, you know, me trying to understand what an Indian's audience likes, right? I had a very thick accent. And I was, as I was telling you, right, that the accent comes from the fact that I've watched cricket as a sport a lot, and UFC and UFC and WWE. So that is a very fast spoken, right? You're calling out live events and that is very fast paced. So when you go to a podcast and you try to talk to people, it came out like, people used to think I'm somewhere from Australia or Ireland because I'm a huge Conor McGregor fan and I had the thick accent. I don't know how I got it, but it was always there. So I've never removed those episodes, you know, because it does allow you to go back, and I can tell people, you know, can go back and see how shitty it was. So I'll tell you the story of my first podcast recording. I started on 23rd July 2020 and I wanted to invite a friend of mine. She was working at Flipkart at that time. So I invited her. I didn't know how to record a podcast. I really didn't know how to record. I didn't know any softwares. So we started recording the call. In midway, we realized it is, you know, not going to work out this way. So then I Googled how to record a podcast, apps to record a podcast. So I came across Anchor at that time. Now it's Spotify for podcasters. So I saw Anchor. I said, yaar, ye sahi cheez hai. Phir Anchor download kiya, usko download karwaya. In between all of this. Oh, sorry. Yeah, so I downloaded Anchor. Yeah, so I downloaded Anchor and, you know, made her download Anchor. We both downloaded Anchor and then we started the recording, and that is how we recorded half of it on phone call, half of it on Anchor. I just joined it and then I shared it across. So that is how it started. And if you have to see, the changing point would have been definitely Joe Rogan podcast being taken over by Spotify. that is something which was a big news, and I was like, cool, this is something that I can do. So that was a starting point. And post that, when I started working with Zarina, so she told me a lot of things on how things work. And I think 2021 was a very big
Zarina,
So Zarina Puramwala is a podcaster, is one of the leading podcasters in India. She had a podcast. She has a podcast by the name The Life Manifesto, right? And so, yeah, she started. So that was a part of Spotify Labs, which I was a part of. So as I was telling you, 2021 was a very big inflection point in terms of how Spotify was promoting podcasts. And they were trying to get new podcasters, at least they were trying to make an ecosystem around. So they did a lot of competitions. They ran a lot of labs that is called podcast labs, where I, interacted with the founder and the host of the Desi Crime podcast that did so well. So he was also there, and then we had Zarina and several other podcasters were there. Audio One, he was there. So they used to tell us, how it had gone, and then they used to bring in all these people. Like Ranveer came for one special masterclass, and where the different RJs used to Ranveer Alabadia. So he used to come, not Ranveer Singh. Ranveer Alabadia came for these podcasts. They used to give this one and a half hours of, sessions on what to do and what not to do. I'm not a huge fan of Ranveer, but yeah, still, he's a big name. He is the one who started this whole bandwagon, and we are just carrying on to it. So, yeah, so, but I don't personally like him. Not as a person. I don't know who he is as a person in terms of the content that comes out. Yeah, pretty viral.
Consume his content, basically.
No. I used to literally do not like any of his content, but since he has got Jay Shankar, sir, after that, I had a change of hearts. And like, see, that's a big personality as someone I really adore. So I think that was a big, big thing for him to be a part of it. So that is something I really liked. And that was a brilliant interview. Some interviews are very good in terms of what you get. So that way, when I worked with Zarina, so that changed a lot of things, a lot of things I put into perspective. I'm a person who has become open to taking feedbacks, and then I started incorporating them. So a lot of feedback. So I remember the first guest I had, she goes with the name Diana Wink, I guess. So she was an author. She told me, like, the first thing she told me was, I don't know why. I was like, akhri mein hum testimonial lenge logo ke. Not testimonial, I'll ask for feedback. If it's critical, then I will incorporate it. If it's positive, I will use it as a testimonial. So that is one thing that I've always done. So she told me that, you didn't give me a good enough intro. And she was like, I was not very welcomed. I didn't feel welcome. So, you should have taken some of my, the work that I've done more into consideration. It should have been a part of it. So then that's when I realized, that is what has to be done. And then, in fact, to the point I started incorporating that much that one Kunal Bakshi, he's a TV artist. He plays the role of Ashwatthama in all these mythology serials, right? And so he told me, Anurag, like the way you have incorporated my intro and all, like if somebody has a bad day, and they talk to you, their day will become good. So I incorporated to that level. And
that's a really, really, really good testimonial.
Testimonial. I mean, like, I was so happy after that. I could not sleep that night out of happiness. So that was there. And there was one more. So that is how, in fact, I got my first movie promotion, partnership. I interviewed this lady called Isha Agarwal, and she was so happy with the way I was, she was like, Anurag, there is one quality which you have, which I feel not many people have, is the way you flatter people. And she's like, I know a lot of things you're just saying, but they just feel too good to hear. I mean, like, to listen to, it's just so good. And I was like, thank you so much, ma'am, and all. And like, she was so happy with the way, she's like, you're just too good at flattering. And like, thanks. I just, don't use my talent at office because I don't feel it's right. But yeah, here I can. It's my place. So yeah. And then she was coming up with a movie. Like, she was a lead actor in a movie. It was a Marathi movie. It was called Jholjal. Manoj Joshi was their lead actor, and a lot of people who were there in Bollywood. And then they were like, would you like to take interview of our cast and all? I was like, why not? Why would I say no to such a thing? I'm not stupid enough. So yeah, that's how it happened. So yes, these things have been like, first of all, Joe Rogan's podcast on how it sold, not sold, like partnership. And then it was working with Zarina, and then it was definitely taking in feedbacks from people. So these are the things that literally incorporated growth. I realized that if I do a solo podcast, it will not be that good as
engaging. It does.
Yeah, engaging in terms of like, see, I cannot just be engaging alone. So I need someone. I can bring out the engaging part on the other person. That's when I realized I'm not that much funny, but I can literally bring out the funny side in other people. So I make people better is what I feel, right? So I bring the best out of people, and I think that is my talent, because I tell people that, you know, I might not have many talents, but there is one talent in me, that is I can copy you really fast. I can, you know, and then I can add my tadka into it. So it will never look like it came from someone else. It will always be my thing. I would say the fourth one would be really understanding how analytics work and how good it can make your content. I realized my podcast lagged a lot on the entertainment factor. And I realized that, you know, like nothing can work if there is no entertainment, because you cannot bring out a value like you are a true expert, right? It's very difficult to bring out an expert level value at our age, at my age, basically. You cannot say some people are very experienced at 25, 26, 27. I'm 28 and a half, right? No, I'm 29. Yeah. So I cannot bring out that level of expertise at 29 is what I feel. There are certain things which I have very detailed knowledge about, but I still don't feel like, you know, I can add that. So I have to bring out entertainment in my podcast. And I realize that my podcast is listened by people who are in the age bracket of 23 to 27 or extending to 29. And they used to listen to it in the morning, 8 to 10 and evening 7 to 9. That is your commute hours, basically. And right, so I need to bring some entertainment, because people usually would not like to listen something of value, because the retention level is low in that time, right? Because you're traveling in a cab or you're traveling in a train or something, you know, you cannot retain much thing value. So you people avoid listening. People listen to value stuff and they are alone and, you know, in a place of peace or something like that. At least I do that. So that is when I started bringing out funny stories of people, you know, something that really makes you that tickles your bone to this date. And that is when people started sharing their funny stories with me and all. So that added entertainment factor to the podcast. And I think that really worked. Like, you know, it helps to create reels also. So that is what I'm working on. So yeah, you have to bring out content.
Interesting. From so your journey is, you know, basically from identifying the opportunity to testing out new formats, to incorporating feedbacks, to all the way to, you know, adding entertainment. Because even I have noticed from the work I do with my clients that entertainment piece, if it's missing, nobody opens a podcast or a YouTube channel just to, you know, consciously, unless they're searching for a topic.
Yeah.
They just don't click on a video because they want to learn something. Only if they search you and they click on your video, they want to learn. Otherwise, all they want to do is entertain. So,
yeah, true.
So, entertainment factor is a huge puzzle in content that you're making. That said, you told me that you have been through Spotify's Podcast Labs and it has really fueled your growth and the opportunities it presented to you. So, what insights or lessons you learned in particular from your participation there, which you'd like other podcasters to incorporate in their podcasting style?
Yeah, obviously. I'll tell some things which are very generic so that, you know, you can buy the course I want to sell to know the course and then get the expertise out of it and I make money out of it. So that apart, some things that I really, that's what Zarina used to tell. And I think I've taken it too seriously. I need to be more consistent. That is one thing, is being consistent. And how you become consistent is one. You need to be consistent is one thing. And how to actually achieve that is a different thing. So what people do in a lot of scenarios is like they'll record one episode and then they'll upload, you know, like, you know, that we have started and all. People think it's very important to start. I agree to that fact that it's very important to start. But you should not start unless you have content enough for 3 months. And considering that a lot of people who start podcast are very new to the editing and all and everything, right? It will take you 4 months of work to at least achieve 3 months of a bank of episodes. We call it a bank of episodes, a bank of content. Because kya hoga na, first episode will do great. You will share it on your story. All your enthusiastic friends will start sharing, you know, my friend has started, you know, become a part of the journey. The person who you have interviewed will start sharing on their social media and all. So just giving you an example, you will get a good decent 400-500 downloads on your first episode. And if you post it on YouTube, you'll get a good 1,000 or 2,000 views if it does not go viral. Sorry. They will get a lot of reshares on your Instagram. You know, everybody will push you. What happens is after the second, third episode, no, not every friend of yours is going to share. Not everyone will share.
Yeah.
Yeah. I have a very good friend who does it all the time. So that's why I said not all. But yeah. Okay. Cool. 1 second. So that is what happens. And they stop sharing. And that, you know, that dopamine hike you got after your first episode share, right? That drops
the dopamine crash.
Yeah, everything. And it's not like a 10-20% crash. It's a 90-95% crash, you see, right? So that is one thing. You have to have 3 months of content so that when you go out that dull phase of yours, right? And so that you will start posting, you'll continue posting, and then you see the results. Because they say that, you know, podcasting is a marathon. That was Zarina always told me. It's not a sprint. You know, there is a very little virality factor to your just the audio format of your podcast. Audio format content does not go viral until and unless you are Ajit Singh or a good singer. So that's why it takes a lot of time to, it took me 1.5 years to actually establish something. Because see, in India, 90% of the people are either some celebrity or some influencer who, or something that they had an audience base already existing on some other platform. And then they started this as their other means of, you know, curating content or something.
So that their audience engages with them.
Yes. They already have a base, right? You are starting your base as a podcaster is very difficult. Not a lot of people have done it, and it takes a lot to actually do that. So that was one thing. Second thing was, you know, which I learned is like video is the king. It beats written content, it beats audio content, it beats every content that is out there in the market. So you have to have some sort of video, you know, presence. And if you're not uploading the full videos, at least you have to take out clips or something to make, to get by. I used to be very averse to this. I was like, no. And that thing, how can I do this? It's not fair. It's very not ethical. But yeah, that's so stupid of me to think, because each piece of content is coming from there. And in order to grow your audio, you have to have some video, because it establishes your credentials also, right? People look at it and they're like, acha, oh, this person is doing this. Then let me listen to the podcast. And the other way also it works. So people listen to your podcast, they're like, let me look at this person, right? Because we as humans want to associate a face to a voice. We just cannot keep listening to our voice. And like, you know, because if later on we come to know, oh, iski awaaz aisi thi, like at times, I'm like, oh, that's so disappointing. So if that happens in the first phase also, right? So then it becomes pretty easy. People are much more used to the fact ki, yeah, chalo, ye banda ya bandi aise dikhta hai. Oh, I think that really adds value. So these were the two key factors that I learned. You know, have a lot of content in your bank. It's okay to not upload some content piece, like something that you forget about putting out, rather than having no content piece to upload. Like, you know, consistency beats everything.
So, since we are talking about content journey is a lot of hits and misses. So, yeah. For someone who's just starting out and experimenting all this content world, what do you think, like, what is a winning content formula that you can give someone who's just starting right off the bat?
See, winning content formula, see, there's just one hit you need, right? It's not about hits and misses, just one hit you need to overcome all your misses. That's how it works. So try everything and anything under the sun. Just do not hesitate. Until and unless you feel it's a cringy content and you are someone who's very averse to creating cringy content, then okay, you can skip. I can agree to that fact, because that is what I do. If I feel something's cringy, I won't do it. But yeah, you try everything under the sun. Just don't give it. Don't skip. Yeah, you know, because you realize how powerful something was only when you try it. And I at times have, you know, skipped KR, like how it won't work like that. I don't think so. If it was that easy, everybody would have done it. But it's actually like that. If you try, it works, it works. It does not work, it does not work. You try something new. I have tried so many things, changed so many things, worked on so many things that I now know ki once something hits, just, you know, milk it to the core after that. Just don't leave, you know, I will try something new. If you find something that is working, stick to it for 1-2 years. Mm-hmm. Stick to that formula for 1-2 years. And you know, with that, I just say, you know, if you're doing a podcast, and I can mostly talk about an interview format podcast, it's just that flattery is the key, to be very honest. And when I say flattery, it should not be fake flattery. You should at least believe in what you are saying. And you know what people do? Like people do, like they'll read out the person's achievements and all. If you see, anybody can read out an achievement of someone, right? It's not that difficult. If I give you 10 lines that this is what all I have done, you will read out and it will be fine. It should not be like that. It should not feel like, you know, reading out of a book. It should feel like it's coming from your heart. And how does it feel like when it's coming from your heart? When you take your own personal examples and relate to those particular achievements. Right? If I say somebody, you know, they have been awarded as the best author, like the best bookseller or best author in some award function they were a part of. So I just cannot say, you know, he or she has won this particular award at this function. It just cannot come. It has to come as a part of a conversation, right? You know, like I've been following a lot of books. I've followed a lot of author journeys, but your journey has been really appealing to me because I have also, you know, wanted to be an author at some point in time, and I had too many ideas, but I could not figure out which one. But when I read your book, or when I came across the summary, you need not necessarily read the book, but you should know the summary of it, right?
And I read your rather than using the word flattery, I think you can rephrase it as appreciation with empathy.
Well, that's too technical for me to even understand.
When you appreciate someone by being empathetic, like relating to them, that's true, right?
But one more thing I would like to figure out here. No, not figure out, tell, is like use words, you know, which a lot of people can understand. Mm. You know, there's a reason why massy movies work and classy movies don't get as much money as you usually do, right? No, there's a reason why Jawan and a Pathan or a RRR, like if you say, you know, Jawan and Pathan are very classy, massy and all, like not my cup of tea, then look at RRR, it's too classy at the same time. But it's just so simple for everybody to understand. Mm-hmm. You can be classy and simple at the same time. So your content has to... There's a reason why these movies make so much, right? Because when you go to watch these movies or watch these content, like you actually could understand ki isme kya ho raha hai, and that is 90% of the audience out there.
The other dilemma that podcasters have is when they're reaching out to guests, should they pick a guest and then finalize the topic, or should they find a topic or the idea... or they want for the next episode and then go hunting for a guest?
See, that's a very valid question. And some, and I happen to be on both sides of the spectrum, right? To be on the both sides of the question. So I can tell you, okay, first of all, in the initial days, my priority was to get good guests. And I was open to them talking about anybody. So I changed my topic to according to the guest. I found someone.
But then you might move away from your niche.
You can always come back to your niche, right? 2-3 episodes. Okay. If you have 100 episodes, in between 2-3 episodes will not really matter. Like it should not. See, I'll tell you. For me, I wanted to talk about marketing, business or life stories, right? I've changed my topics. I've changed my niche a lot. I named it Marketing with Manik. Anurag Manik, Marketing with Manik. Then I was like, that's such a difficult name and such name is not good for a brand. So I then changed it to M Square. Right, so M Square Podcast, I made it so that it sounds more, fancy, business-like and all. It's easier to spell it out. Who will say I appeared on Marketing with Manik and all? Nobody. I would not do if I invited myself to my podcast, I would not say I was a part of Marketing with Manik and all. Right. So that is very important. Until unless you talk about something and as a content creator in the initial days, if you, as I mentioned, right, hits in misses. If it works, it works. It worked for me. So I can say that, you know, like if you have got a really good guest who has around 1 million followers on Instagram, it will give you a brand new audience, a lot of people who will come. And even if 10% of them stay, of the 1,000 people you got, 100 new people, right? So that is not a bad deal to make in the initial days. Until unless ki aapka bahut niche topic hai, you cannot involve a space scientist in a podcast that talks about what to eat in a day. So that is one thing, you have to take care of. Ki it's just not off topics. If I've got some influencers and all, I've asked them, and they might have had some brand. I've tried to ask them, you know, how do you grow your brand? What is your life journey? What is your story like? And, you know, I've tried to relate it back to somewhere so that I do not lose out the whole content. But if for a content creator who has no base, like I had no base, no followers. I had a private account with some 700 followers, 600 followers, all my friends. I mean, like, I had to do everything out there in the sun, right? And I didn't know about content creation also. I came from a background where I know about all content creators' work, how I never worked with any content creator. All my friends were either technical guys or they were into business, and like they were working in a job. So, I mean, I have to learn on the go. And how will you learn? If I reach out to a content creator, I can at least ask them as a question. It's something which they will not respond offline to me. I can ask them in the interview, how did you grow? I learned something from them and then I'll incorporate. But for me, it was initially not to grow about the podcast. For me, it was to understand how this ecosystem works. Pura uska understanding lena how it works. And then get some guests, followers from them or something. That's how I've grown. That's how it worked for me. So I can just tell you that. And other than that, I've released 4-5 episodes. So what I'll do, I'll figure out a topic and then I'll be like, okay, this may say for these topics, who are the people who can work really well for me? So that I've also done. It works well. Once you have a decent engagement, then you can pick out topics and do about it, right? Then you can go about people. Then actually it makes a lot of sense, right? Just about how fast you can grow and how fast you want to grow. If I applied the first method, growing, maybe my some content piece might have gone viral. Audio does not go viral. If I was doing videos and all, it might have gone viral and all, and I would have reached faster. But I was not aware of such things. So that thing, which would have taken me 6-7 years, I got them in 2-3 years. By just deviating, it's not a very popular opinion. But yeah, if you see people, once something clicks, you know, a lot of content, they delete their old content, right? They delete their old content. Who knows what was there in the back? I started with single storytelling sessions and I went into interview format podcast. There was no connection in between them, right? So that is how it works. I would say do anything that can fuel your growth. Anything under the sun.
One of the things I think we can highlight from the entire thing that you mentioned is find a connector. Like, even if the guest that you are bringing on is not completely relevant to your niche, ask the questions that are relevant to your niche. Yep. So that you can bridge it back and say, this episode is a bit relevant to what we are conversing.
Agreed,
on this podcast. Okay. In your experience, what is the best way to expand your reach as a podcaster in order to increase your listenership?
It's the same two things. Make reels or shorts goes viral. That is something. Okay. It gives you
so
good
social
audience.
Media.
Social media, maybe it's not like you cannot, don't put long format content in the beginning, put shorts, right? That is something which people would like to consume. And static posts now, previously they did well, the carousels and all did well. Now it is limited to, this only. Reels and shorts works really, really well, right? And second thing would be to reach out to people who already have what you want. And that really works, you know. That's it. I would say it's all about timing, if you want a good guest, this is something which I have done for a very, very long time. The people who appear on TV, right? India has a huge TV market. Still, people say moving to digital. The tier 2 and tier 3 India is still on TV, right? They watch TV. They watch those people. They are on Instagram and they are on, YouTube. But they might not use Netflix on that much. I'm not saying they use, and they definitely people use, but it's still on TV. So if they see someone on TV, they go to their Instagram, they follow them, right? So figure out shows that you should watch, even if you don't like them. And there are a lot of shows which are considered very cringy, over the top and all. But your real gems lie there, right? People who have been on the TV or who have been on a show for the first time, they want to increase their media appearances as much as they want. Reach out to them; they will definitely be a part of it. You might not get the kind of content you're wanting, but you can get the growth that you're expecting.
So, Anurag, what are the KPIs that podcasters should measure to see if their podcast is growing and attracting listeners, and when should they start doing it? Because starting may you don't have as many listeners as you need.
I follow this very one thing, right? People say you don't share much about your episodes on your Instagram. I'm like, see, initially for 1-2 years, I still don't do it much. Until and unless I want to show off about a good guest I've interviewed, I don't usually put it out on my Instagram or somewhere. And the reason behind it is I want to actually know how many people are organically finding my podcast. Because if I share it with someone, I know that person has heard or not or something like that, right? So I used to keep it very smooth, very simple. That I initially for at least for 10, 15 episodes, I'm not going to share it with my friends. I don't want to know that people knowing me are listening to it. I want to know how many people are finding it and listening to it. And I think that has worked really well because that is when you try new things, ye karke dekhte hain, let me try this, let me try that, so that it might work out or it might not work out. That is what I do. That is what I did for a long period of time. I still do it to most of the cases, people finding it organically. Yesterday, that colleague of mine found me organically. He was like, I searched for podcast and you all came up. And then I went to know that you have this many episodes. I listened to all of it. And if I would have sent it to him, he might have not listened to all of it, right? But he found out. So that way, people become a natural, follower of your podcast or your work. So that is one thing that I followed for a very long time. Do not share it with your friends or family in the beginning, right? You do not get honest feedback, to be very honest.
More than honest feedback, I think they'll listen half half of your episodes, yes, and it will also affect your charts.
See, charts, I think, you know, like it has not much to do with your engagement, how many times, for how long you're listening, like how shorts and all work. I think podcast is pretty different to it. Okay, so yeah, so it's pretty different to it because of the fact that shorts and all work more when you get an engagement. For audio, it's currently not on that level. So I think it works more on the people who are clicking into it, you know, following, sharing and all. It works like how Instagram used to work before, how many people, engagement, what was the thing. So the different parameters that you have to look for after a significant amount of time, once you have 10, 15 episodes, like, you know, how many downloads you're getting per episode. And do not watch it on that one skewed episode that did really well. In fact, use that episode to understand what was there in that episode, which was not there in all other episodes, right? And then try to incorporate it in all the different episodes that is out there. You know, you have to, if you do one good content piece, that is actually a parameter to judge, not judge, to improve your future content, because that thing had something which other episodes didn't. So that is one thing which you can do. Obviously, average listenership, how much minutes of your content people are consuming, what is the average listen time? I think that only Spotify gives. I'm not sure because Podbean I used, I don't think that gives average listens in terms of how many minutes a particular person is listening to your podcast. So that is there. Number of downloads, and then the number of listens you get, right? How many people listen to it for more than a minute or something. So these are the things which you need to know. And obviously, you know, watch the comments that you get when you post. Like what are people liking? What are people not liking? And if there is a certain pattern to it, obviously improve upon it. And do not just act on one or two negative advices you get. Don't ignore, keep it in the back of your mind. And if someone later on tells you that, then you can obviously figure out, you know, that was a problem in you and the content you're creating.
Correct. So since we are now on YouTube, do you have any specific advice for content creators on how they can leverage their YouTube channel to grow their podcast audience?
So is it like something which someone who already has a big, a decent following?
No, somebody who's just starting, zero, no, common people.
Oh, common people like us. Yeah, so for YouTube, I can be very honest that I would definitely not be the best person to tell you something about YouTube. I can tell you about how Spotify and all, but and something about Instagram, because I have literally spent a lot of time up there. YouTube, I'm currently trying to also understand, but what things I've seen work for me decently well is like having a very good initial 20 seconds of your content, that is when it's short or something like YouTube works on clickbait and your thumbnails and all. So the better the thumbnail, the clickbaity the thumbnail, the more views you get and the more the content gets pushed. So that is what it works. You know, like if you have a funny story, which you have covered as a part of your podcast, use it in the beginning of the episode so that people are hooked to it and they at least skip to that particular part of the content that is out there. So, you know, YouTube works on, it has worked on clickbait for me. And my content has value, but, you know, I try to keep it 50-50 when it comes to entertainment and value delivering. I feel I'm not still on that level. I can give you full value. I'm not Andrew Huberman. I can give you 3 hours of valuable content, which you would be dying to listen to and all. I'm not yet on that level, though I would love to be on that level, but I'm not there yet. So I can give you some entertainment. I can give you some good masala. I can give you something and at that same time add some value to your life if I can. So that is what I followed and it's working well. I'm trying on YouTube. Maybe if we have a conversation 3 months from now, maybe I can give you some more tips and tricks on what works and what does not work.
Okay, so
it would be the other way around.
You also mentioned Instagram. So how is Instagram fueling your listenership growth?
It does a lot. So recently, you know, I figured out a content format to work out around. I did the first reel and I think that was the highest engagement reel I've ever got. In terms of the ratio, at times I've got 50,000, 60,000 a place, but the likes were around 1,000, 2,000. That reel that I used that technique on, it got like around 16,000 plays and the likes were around 600. So that was a very good ratio. That's a 30% ratio. No, the 3% ratio, right? 16,000. Yeah, that's a 3% ratio. But I think that was very good in terms of what I was expecting and what I got. So I think I'm going to pick up more onto it. And you know, there's a lot of people who are on Instagram are much more aware about podcasts and I feel it's on YouTube. Because yeah, so I think that is what going to work. That works better in terms of if you're a podcaster or not. YouTube's hashtags are do not have much idea on how it works and how well it works, but I have an idea that Instagram hashtags do really work well for me, and it has worked well for me in the past also. So yeah, that way it is still better to reach to a lot of new audience. And I think at times the Instagram links gets clicked a lot for me. I've recently removed the link because I wanted to add another link. But yeah, like I used to get a lot of taps on this Instagram podcast link that I had. And once someone gets to know that there's 20-25 downloads you get in a day, that is very good for me. Also for anybody who's starting, it becomes very easy. If you have 30 episodes, someone new comes in, they will listen to 15-20 episodes of yours at a go. So you just suddenly get that boost, and then you know that literally fuels you also. It does fuel me. Attention fuels me a lot, so yeah, that way it works very well for me.
Okay, and how have you or your other podcaster friends monetized their shows?
Oh no, I'm not telling that. It's very
secret.
Oh, but no, generic. It's not top secret. Pay me 1500 rupees, buy my course, I'll tell. Not pay me.
But man, like a overview. Eagle eye of how
See, people, it's just through brand partnerships, it's through sponsorships if you get something. It also depends on the niche that you're targeting.
Mm-hmm.
And if you do really well, you get paid interviews also.
Okay.
People cool. pay.
Any advice you want for some podcaster who's wanting to make money from their podcast?
Advice is in like just start, maybe you will make money. See, if you diversify from your podcast to other mediums like Instagram, YouTube, or any other social media, I only use these two, so I can talk about these two.
Mm-hmm.
So that opens up literally a lot of avenues for you. But if you're someone who started and you know, you have to give it 1 year, it for podcast still cannot be a full-time thing if you do not already have an audience. If you have an audience, it can be an added. It can be an added medium to your marketing or to your branding. But if you do not have anything, and if you feel you know you want to do something in the technology side, to do something in the audio side of things, then you have to put out 1 year to just be patient and you know do things. After 1 year, maybe something picks up. 1-2 years, something picks up, and then you can diversify to other mediums when you start getting partnerships or something through your podcast. But never miss out on the power of video. Always do have video of whatever you're doing in terms of podcast. If it's a solo one, please do still record videos. It can be 1-2 minute thing, but do record. Don't miss out on videos. You will literally regret it 2-3 years down that you didn't do videos.
That was a good parting advice. Thank you so much, Anurag, for all your insights and your time as well. And I hope to see you soon.
Yep, sure, definitely. I know. Thank you so much. It was really a pleasure having, being a part of your show and, you know, sharing something that I've learned throughout my journey. I know some things have been really might work or might not work. It can be really shitty advice, and you can go out and like any type of engagement.
Test out everything under the sun.
Yes. That's so simple, right? I just blab at something which you get on the first research result of Google. But yeah, I mean, just go out and try. That's it. That's what I've done. So that's what I can say. So it was not like I had some secret formula. So that is something which I've done, and it worked well for me. Not worked well, worked decently for me. I'm hoping it works well for me. So that's it. Thank you so much, Manali. It has been literally a pleasure to talk to you. Thank you so much.